Hiya, Wanju. Hello, welcome to another episode of The Curb. I'm Andrew F. Pierce, and this is a podcast where I bring you in-depth interviews with filmmakers, creatives, and curators of culture. This podcast is recorded in Boorloo, Western Australia, sovereignty never ceded. The upcoming 18th annual Sydney Underground Film Festival kicks off in Newtown, New South Wales on Thursday, the 12th of September, 2024, with a Smellorama screening of John Walter's cult classic Female Trouble, which celebrates its 50th anniversary. The festival runs until Sunday, the 15th of September, with a huge array of films and features ranging from the truly bonkers Vulcan is Adora to the superbly surreal Can't Stop the Music extravaganza, which should be very exciting. That is on a Saturday night for people who in Australia may usually only watch that film on New Year's Eve. They screen alongside frightfully great features like the Aussie dark comedy The Organist, all the way to the latest work of provocative filmmaker Bruce LaBruce, whose latest film The Visitor screens at the festival. And making it a little bit more personal, there will also be a book launch from myself on Friday evening at Better Red Than Dead, which is the bookstore located right next to where the festival is taking place in Dendy, Newtown. And I'll be joined by festival programmer Jack Sargent and filmmaker Platon Theodorus to kick off my new book, Lonely Spirits in the King. Tickets are available for these films and the event as well via suff.com.au, and I highly recommend heading on over, purchasing tickets as soon as possible, because some of these screenings are close to selling out. And it'll also be great if you head on over and purchase a ticket to come and see the panel discussion on Friday evening and to pick up an early copy of Lonely Spirits in the King. There are limited copies that will be available on the night, and tickets for that particular panel are $5, with a book and ticket purchase price of $40 for those who want to get in early as well. Ahead of the festival launch, I was able to catch up with festival director Nathan Sen to catch up and chat about what makes an underground film festival an underground film festival. Additionally, we also talked about how important it is to showcase films from different genre backgrounds. As you would have heard, there's everything from the erotic versions of filmmaking, horror and sci-fi of Bruce LaBruce, all the way to the dark comedies of The Organist. And as you'll hear in the following discussion, there's even just a basic indie drama, which, you know, ideally you wouldn't probably see them sitting side by side on an underground film festival lineup. But we talk about why that happens and why the importance of showcasing films that do span a variety of different genre stylings as well. Additionally, we also talk about what it means to amplify Australian filmmakers like Sarah Lamberg, whose film The Lies We Tell Ourselves screens at the festival on Sunday the 15th of September. Sarah's film is about her trying to make it in Cannes Film Festival and the difficulties that she faces in doing so. It is certainly a bit of a genre bending thing. Is it fiction? Is it documentary? Is it somewhere in between? Well, we talk about that as well. And we talk about the short films that SUFF also screens too, and the importance of celebrating shorts as well, all the way from documentaries to horror films to something in between. Alongside that, we dig into a bunch of recommendations, as well as stories about the films that are screening at the festival, and a huge lot more in this in-depth discussion. Nathan was really generous with his time, and it's really great to hear somebody so open about what goes into actually making a film festival work in today's day and age. If you're in Sydney for the festival, please come along, say hello. It's going to be one heck of a festival. I'm going to be there all weekend. Really looking forward to catching the opening night film. Female Trouble is a real delight, but I'm also kind of looking as well forward to the Can't Stop the Music extravaganza on the Saturday night. That looks like a real treat. I'm also quite keen to catch The Organist too. Alexi Toliopoulos will be doing a Q&A with the filmmakers behind The Organist, and having seen that film earlier at MIFF and chatted to the filmmakers, I know it's going to be a real delight to hear from them and to hear from Alexi as well, talking about the great film. It's a huge amount that's going on. Once again, the website is suff.com.au. Go ahead, pick up tickets and get on board for one of the best film festivals that operates in Australia. It is really, truly one of the great film festivals and certainly a excellent celebration of independent and fringe cinema. And I'll tell you what, we really need that a lot. It is, you know, these champions of Australian films, these champions of genre films, and these champions of fringe cinema are vitally important to keeping Australian films and these fringe films alive. It means the world. I continue going on about that as we open up the discussion with Nathan. For now, here is a listen to the festival's trailer. And once again, suff.com.au. And if you like listening to this episode and this interview, make sure to head over to thecurb.com.au to listen to other interviews and check out reviews and the likes. And you can also visit patreon.com/thecurb.au to show your support for the website from as little as $1 a month. Thanks, guys. Enjoy the discussion.
Attaboy, on the count of three.
Let the show begin.
Sarcasm, cynicism, beauty, depravity.
It's been a weird day.
Weird, confusing.
What I want to start off from talking about is, I guess, a little bit about the history of SUFF, where Sydney Underground Film Festival came from. Because I know that underground film festivals around the world have been quite a popular thing to highlight, underground films. And I'm curious if you can talk about the history of SUFF just a little bit.
No, for sure. So unfortunately, SUFF predates my time there. It was a festival that was founded by a couple, Stephen Popescu and Catherine Berger, and they're still deeply involved with the festival in both programming and management. So yeah, they've been there since day dot and have formed a really large part of it. You know, it's sort of their DNA is in the festival, and the festival's DNA is definitely deep within them. So they were both filmmakers and artists of their own right. And I was studying at SCA Sydney University, studying film and fine art. And so I think the festival's 18 years old. I think it started in 2007. So this was around the time that they were really discovering and honing their own craft. And I think they came to the realization that, you know, as we were talking about earlier, there's just not that many opportunities for films that are a little bit left of center, alternative, underground to be filmed. So feeling a bit like, well, you know, there's no home for the work that we're making. They thought maybe we can start a festival of our own. So they got creative, and what started as like a one-day series of short film screenings really expanded year on year, and now it's turned into a full weekend of underground cinema, not just local but international, not just contemporary but retrospective, and sort of gone from strength to strength. So, yeah, really just identifying that sort of hole in the market from their own perspective, and obviously not only about themselves. You know, to their credit, they never actually screened any of their own films at the festival. It was more about their contemporaries and the people that they worked with, and the sort of Sydney film community on whole. I came on board personally about 10 years ago, so this is my 10th festival. Originally started in programming, because that's my sort of background, programming and curation, and stepped into the director role just this year. So this is my first year doing it, where Stephen and Kath have had to sort of take a little bit of a step back. So the festival's mission is what it was back then, really, to support these types of films, to support emerging film practitioners, films that are weird and wacky and wild and wonderful, and things that may be a little bit more obscure and just wouldn't get the attention of mainstream cinemas or even art house cinemas or you know, larger film festivals, but stuff that really deserves an audience and deserves to be seen. So we're all about championing that putting these films in front of audiences.
So I'm curious for you then, what was the draw, or was there a point in your life when you went, underground films, this is something that I'm really interested in? Was there any particular film or a filmmaker who you discovered that you went, I need to really immerse myself in this world?
That's a good question. So I studied film for a long time. I did a PhD in Melbourne in film study, so more film theory than filmmaking. So my background's more of an academic one. My interest in cinema is probably more theoretical. I don't know if they're necessarily underground, but you know, I would say my favourite filmmaker of all time would be Werner Herzog, which you know is true of so many people now. He's really blown up. And become quite a popular figure, but I think you know the way that he started filmmaking is entirely independent and radical, and he's someone who has had to build himself up to what he is. So I think he does have roots in alternative, independent, underground filmmaking for sure. And look, you know, there are so many films and filmmakers that I could name that have personally have had a massive impact, but you know, I've always been drawn to filmmakers like David Lynch or Alejandro Jodorowsky, some of these filmmakers, mostly from the sort of 60s and 70s, that have really had more radical dispositions and sort of forged their own way, you know, to make films really unapologetically that are very much idiosyncratic in their own. So I think, when I was studying, I sort of discovered these filmmakers and in discovering their films, developed my own love for cinema. And so I think when I got out of university, you know, initially my intention was probably to stay in academia to lecture and to research and to write. That changed the deeper I got into it. And so, you know, I came to think, well, what does one do with an open qualification in film? And you know, sort of landed on curation. And very much by happenstance, I happened to hook up with the Sydney Underground Film Festival, and I'm forever grateful that they gave me an opportunity to really cut my teeth and teach me about the festival landscape and how to program and plan and prepare these events. But really, serendipitous, I would say, because, my personal taste and my interest in cinema and the potential of cinema is very much underlined with underground filmmaking and the kind of films that SUFF champions and promotes every year. So it's been a match made in heaven. I count my blessings every year that I'm able to continue to work with the festival, because it's been brilliant.
I mean, as I mentioned, like, I'm based in Perth, and Revelation has always been my kind of go-to place for also quite a lot of underground stuff. And I guess as a sibling festival, SUFF is very much, covers a similar ground as Revelation does. And one of the filmmakers who is well represented at both festivals has been probably one of the great underground filmmakers, which is Bruce LaBruce. And, you know, his work is very much boundary pushing, and it's the kind of thing that you expect to see at a festival like SUFF. I'm curious if you can talk about what it means to, you know, represent and put out a filmmaker's work like Bruce LaBruce, who is so boundary pushing, and have an audience sitting there and kind of have a film like The Visitor wash over them.
The Visitor is one of my favourite films that we're playing this year. I think it's one of the first ones that we actually locked in. And as soon as I sort of heard that Bruce had a new film out this year, my eyes, you know, as you say, that went wide, because he is such an iconoclast, and you know that whenever he's made a film, that it's one to seek out, because you know you're going to get your mind sufficiently blown by watching it. So you know, we've obviously, he's got a very storied history, as you say, with underground filmmaking and in queer cinema. Films like I Don't Rock with Dead People, LA Zombie, which obviously, you know, film historians and film buffs will know, had a lot of issues with the censorship board here and had many screenings banned. And we've played a number of his films in past. I think most recently in 2018, we played a film called The Misandrists, which was also a lot of fun. So we've been a big fan of Bruce's work for a long time, and really, really happy to have him back as part of the festival. I guess for people who don't know The Visitor, it's a soft remake of Pasolini's Tiarama, but probably dialed up to 100, and sort of exploring some more contemporary social issues around race and class and sexuality that are very much of the time. It's, as you say, it's a piece of provocation. It's bright, it's sharp, it's lurid, it's abrasive, but it's also as challenging and confronting as it is, I think it's a beautiful film and definitely one to see in the cinema in a room full of people. At SUFF where we really try and champion the subversive and the transgressive, and Bruce is very much that. And Just that left of field outsider perspective that's really pushing against, you know, social norms and boundaries. Oftentimes, I think cinema particularly, but society, you know, generally is becoming more and more homogenized, and the voices that we hear tend to be very one-dimensional and sort of monotoned. So to have a filmmaker like Bruce who so wholeheartedly and willingly rallies against that, you know, in such a sort of passionate and visceral way, I think that is what makes his kind of cinema sit really well with self and play really well with us, but also makes it really important in the kind of cinema that we want to support in this day and age. He's a really strong and idiosyncratic and important voice. I encourage anyone who loves that kind of thing in their film to get along and check it out over the festival weekend.
What I do love about film festivals, especially really well-curated ones, is the conversation that films have with one another that are in the program. And I think of the work of Bruce LaBruce and then the conversation that kind of film might be having with the programming of the Lost Sex films of King's Cross, which I'm particularly excited about seeing that, because that just sounds like it's uncovering a history which, you know, usually you just would not be able to see anywhere else. It's why we go to film festivals. And I'm curious if you can talk about that cross-programming conversation that films might have with one another about, you know, the now and the past and the future even sometimes as well.
No, that's an excellent question. And, yeah, obviously a very complex one to answer. But the King's Cross screening is another brilliant one. So, again, this is a pair of filmmakers, George and Kara Schwartz, who are Australian but originally from Switzerland, I believe, and they came to prominence in the 60s and 70s making short and feature hardcore erotica, but in a very, you know, very tasteful, artful, experimental way. And I guess this is at the time when, I guess, the porn in cinema, particularly in the United States, was becoming more mainstream and... Well, when I say mainstream, I guess, you know, more professionally handled, probably more experimented with. So, you know, your titles like Deep Throat and Debbie Does Dallas were blowing up in line with cult and midnight cinema. So this was, you know, I guess these are the sort of Australian version of that, and their films would play at King's Cross. And much like Bruce LaBruce, you know, had a lot of struggles with censorship in getting their films actually screened due to the provocative content and the controversial content. So we're, again, very lucky to be put in touch with the filmmakers. They've recently had a lot of their key works restored from the film archives down in Canberra. So we've got really mint condition copies, and we're going to be able to screen them. Karis, unfortunately, George has passed, but Karis is still with us, and she's going to be joining us for a Q&A to discuss the history of those films and where they do sit in a contemporary context. So it's going to be a really special event. We're really thrilled that she's joining us. In terms of you know, the history and the future, I think we've got a few retrospective titles this year, and a lot of them are sort of linked in thematic ways. I totally agree. I think strongly curated programming is one that doesn't just, you know, play a set of films. It plays a set of films that reach out to one another and talk to one another and have thematic and contextual overlap. And so these two films definitely do that. I guess the other one that sort of, you know, buzzes in my mind is our opening night. We're playing Female Trouble. That's the 50th anniversary of John Waters. And I think John Waters is a filmmaker who obviously is just quintessential to any conversation around underground filmmaking, but particularly queer cinema. And I think particularly as a forebearer to Bruce LaBruce, you know, they share a lot of DNA and a lot of filmmaking similarities. So, yeah, it's interesting, I think, to think about the context in which cinema is consumed, cinema and media and content, pornography and sexuality, and to think about the histories of that. Some of the filmmakers who had to struggle to have their works shown and have dealt with censorship, to look at where we are now and maybe things having changed, but not necessarily as much as we think that they have, you know, as we sort of talked about a little bit before. There is still a struggle for filmmakers, whether it be for censorship reasons or for other societal factors, to get their works actually in a cinema in front of other people. And so being able to look at the history of that, to look back at the people who have struggled that struggle and to look forward at what the future might mean to have work screened, I think is a really important one in the context of cinema. So being able to invite an audience to do that and look at different titles that make them, maybe I ask those broader questions, not just about the films that they're watching, but about censorship and sexuality and, you know, what it's okay to screen and what it's not okay to screen and how we consume things and where we consume them and the sort of pros and cons of that process, I think is it's a really important conversation to have in 2024.
I mean, that's the thing, is like we've mostly focused on the like erotic focused films that are in the festival at this point, but that's not, you know, it's hard to kind of pigeonhole what an underground film is, but people often think of immediately like an extreme violence or extreme sex related films and stuff like that, but that's not always the case, because it's like you've got Sarah Lamberg's The Lies We Tell Ourselves, which is not provocative in that kind of way at all, but it also breaks a huge amount of the rules for what genre filmmaking can or should be. And it's not the kind of thing that you go and see at a multiplex. And to me, that is what an underground film is. It's not a multiplex fair. And it can be something that breaks genres. It can be something that doesn't fit into a hole that is so easy to say, yes, it is this. And that's kind of what Sarah's film is like. It's, you know, it's not something that you can sit there and go, well, this is a very simple story of, you know, a woman trying to make it in Cannes. There's a lot more going on there. But that's kind of, to me, what an underground film is. And so I wonder if you can talk about the importance of showcasing that other side of underground films, those films that just don't fit into a mold, a bit like The Lies We Tell Ourselves.
100%. So, you know, I think we always aim for inclusivity, and I think inclusivity means it means having something screening that sort of anyone can enjoy. There's something there for anyone and everyone. I think when if you do go too hard with the underground concept and you make it too experimental or abrasive or sexual or violent, then you do alienate an audience. And that absolutely, you know, while we do want to screen some of that content because there is an audience there for it, you know, we don't want to alienate other people and make them think, oh, well, you know, you have to be, you know, a hardcore cinephile or, you know, too cool for school to be able to attend stuff, because it's just not, it's not the case. We get people from all walks, and that is really important to us as well. And yeah, to that end, I think a film like Sarah's is probably the perfect example of that. Like I said, our sort of key principles are films that are subversive and transgressive, and that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, lascivious or crude. That just means pushing against whether it be societal norms in the themes, or whether it be the funding models that traditionally films receive, so more independent fare, or things that just experiment with genre, as you say, and the filmmaking form, the way that films are typically made. And I think Sarah's does that beautifully. For those who don't know, it's a film, I guess you would call it a sort of metaphysical mockumentary. It's a sort of a film within a film about a filmmaker making a film and her struggle to get that film funded and financed and screened and touring the festival circuit. And it gives a very sort of satirical and clever behind the scenes look at the process that she has gone through to sort of make that happen in a, you know, semi non-fictional, semi-fictional way. It's a really creative and it's a creative film that expresses a lot of ingenuity. I think it's very clever in what it does. And again, it's a really fine piece of Australian filmmaking. We've got some really good Australian films on display this year, and this is definitely one of the stronger of them. So I encourage people to get to the cinemas and support that, especially if they want to support, you know, local Australian-made independent filmmakers like Sarah. She's brilliant. I was also going to say sort of more, you know, other examples of that, which I think are really interesting. You know, we're programming a film called Sacramento this year, which is probably our most commercial or accessible fare. You know, it's an American indie comedy. It's like a buddy road comedy. It's got Michael Cera in it. It's got Kristen Stewart in it. And I think a lot of people might look at it and say, well, what's that doing in an underground program? But I think it's another really good example of what we're talking about in that Look, it was made by, it was written, directed, edited, produced by the other star of the film, who happens to be friends with Michael and Kristen. They've sort of met through connections. It's made on a shoestring budget, I think about $2 million, which is nothing in this day's economy. It also really, you can call it a buddy road trip comedy, but it also is very self-aware and subverts those norms to make something that's really quite uniquely humorous and sweet. Sometimes things that don't necessarily seem like they might fit the remit do, but that just goes to show the sort of breadth of programming that we have. From your Bruce LaBruces to your Sarah Lambergs to your Sacramentos, when I say that there is something that I think most anyone could enjoy, I definitely mean it.
Well, what I was going to mention was obviously The Organist, which is a film that I quite enjoyed when it premiered at MIFF, and that was, it's this wonderfully dark comedic film about organ trades and stuff like that, and the economy and everything. It's a very entertaining film. So getting to see that projected is going to be very exciting. But it's that spotlighting Australian films, which is so important, and independent filmmakers too. And that's kind of sits at the core of a film festival like SUFF, where it is that support for independent filmmakers. And I'm curious if you can talk about, maybe on a personal level, what it means to be able to shine a light on independent filmmakers. What does that mean for you to be able to say, this is something that I think that an audience should watch and sit in the dark and experience together?
I think it's probably one of the most important things that we do as a festival, and it's certainly one of the most important things for me. I think I'm a person that needs to do meaningful work, so work that I find fulfilling. So for me, it's not, while I love movies, so I'm doing stuff and I go home at the end of the day and that's that. I do stuff because I strongly believe in its purpose, and I think that it makes a tangible difference to culture, film culture and arts culture in Sydney and Australia. And I think that that's, in this day and age, that's a really worthy and important cause. So, it's really important to us to be able to discover new work. I think that's one of the benefits of, I've worked a number of different festivals, and one of the benefits of working smaller underground festivals is that you get to be a discovery festival. You put a lot of work into digging deeply, to seeing what's out there, to really, uncovering some gems, and then being able to be given the opportunity to put that in cinema and get that in front of people. It's a privilege, but it's also lovely to know that potentially helps support filmmakers, in the early stages of their careers. It potentially gets eyes across their work. It creates word of mouth. It gets distributors looking at them and talking about them. It gets other festival play, sometimes locally, sometimes international. And, that can be the start of people's careers, and they can go on to make brilliant works. And often that is the case. You discover a filmmaker and you play their first, their second film, and you try and get their third one, but you can't because they're already playing at a big scale festival because they've taken that next step, and all you can be is really happy for them.
With that in mind then, do you see filmmakers who you've programmed, or been part of the festival 10 years ago, and you go, wow, I feel like I'm part of their journey, or I get to see them succeed in this kind of way. What's it like to be able to see that kind of success from a festival to now, I guess?
Oh, it happens all the time. It's great. I mean, you don't give yourself too much credit for any of that. I mean, filmmakers make their own success and they wholeheartedly deserve all the praise that they make. It's a nice feeling to know that you've been part of that journey, that, you are maybe there and communicating with them and supporting them early on. And if that helped, brilliant. But, the number of times that maybe you're watching something on Netflix or you hear about a new film and then you look at the director and it's like, hi, I know them. I remember we partnered on that film a few years ago and awesome. This is great. And it just fills you with joy to know that, the people that we've been able to collaborate with have really hit us and gone on to make a name for themselves and go on to bigger and better things, which is part of the goal, anything that we can do to support filmmakers, whether they be local or international, to have their work produced and screened, if we can be a part of that in any small way, shape or form, then I think we're doing our job and yeah, we feel really good about that.
One of the things which I find really interesting is I was in Sydney recently and I got to go to Newtown and have a look around and stuff. And it's this quite an eclectic place. Like it's a very, it's exactly the kind of area that you'd expect a film festival like this to be operating. I'm curious if you can talk about what it means to be able to screen it in a place like Newtown and what it does for the community there as well.
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. Like we were originally at the Factory Theatre, which is in Marrickville, which is still in Sydney's inner west. It's sort of a couple of suburbs over from Newtown. And we were there for the first sort of 14 or 15 years of the festival. So that was deeply entrenched as the festival home. And we really loved that space. The only reason that that changed was because of COVID. You know, we had to pivot very quickly to online, and we spent a couple of years sort of locked down and doing online only, which changed a lot. You know, it definitely impacted the festival, but it also changed the festival landscape, the arts landscape in terms of, you know, funding and requirements and whatnot. So I think with a lot of organisations and festivals in the arts, you know, we've had to reinvent ourselves a little bit on the other side of that and reevaluate what we do and how we do it. But we've been really lucky to be able to land with Sedendi in Newtown. As you say, it's not far from where we were based, so we're still sort of in our spiritual homeland. And I think it was our first year there last year, and there are a few really good positives. You know, it's such a professional setup, being able to have the cinema space, the projection quality, the support of the staff who do screenings every day, and you know, it's a fit for purpose space, which is great. Whereas previously we'd sort of have to fit a space out ourselves. And I guess the other thing that's been really positive of being there is the foot traffic. You know, King Street's bustling. And so I think we're in this phase of the festival's existence, being able to be somewhere that is more central and probably has a bit more, as I say, foot traffic, or, you know, a bit more of overview, allows us a bit of growth, I think, and allows us more discovery for the festival. People who might be just going to Dendy to see something that's, you know, more mainstream release will come upon us and say, hey, what's this and what are you guys about? And, we got a lot of questions to that end last year. And you do have a lot of people that say, okay, well, that sounds really fascinating. Maybe I'll check something out over the weekend. And, you know, I think that's a really good way to just sort of grow the brand and increase awareness. So there have been a lot of positives from doing that. But, yeah, look, you know, for us it is just about doing the good work. And that means, you know, when you spend a lot of time curating and programming these films and you do want to support filmmakers, you want to get as many eyes across these films as possible. And so for us, it's all about any opportunity to extend that and grow that and make sure that, you know, we can not only that we can be sustainable into the future, but that we can continue to champion these types of films for years to come. So Ben, I think being with Dendy in Newtown at the moment is a big part of that. And hopefully it continues to go really well.
Well, I mean, which kind of is a great transition into the last discussion point, which is the key films that you feel that people should be seeking out. Obviously, everybody should be heading along to go and see as many films as possible. But if people can only see a handful of films, what are the ones that you really want them to go and seek out?
Oh, that's a good question. I think it's kind of like asking your parent to pick their favourite child, asking a programmer to pick which films you should go see and which ones to not. But there are, like I said, I think just to harp on about the breadth of the program, you know, I think there is really, there's something for a lot of people. So for people who don't know, you know, we show narrative features, we show documentaries, we have retrospectives, we have contemporary titles, we've got four short film packages that are incredible. The quality of those is incredible every year. And that is definitely something that I would spruik. You know, we do a home-baked session, which is a block of 90 minutes of the best short Australian films that we could find. And we watch a lot of, you know, a lot of films to make these packages work. So they are, you know, they're all bangers. I can say that hand on heart. But if, you know, if you care deeply about Australian cinema and you want to support young and emerging up-and-coming Australian artists, then getting to the home-bake block and checking out what they have to do is a really good way to do it, because, you know, similar to what we were talking about, it's often these filmmakers that you then see, you know, they'll do a couple of short films and then they get their first feature, and then after their first feature they're away, and the next thing you know they're making films overseas, and it's brilliant. So supporting them however possible, I think, is a massive one. Other films that I love in the program, there's a film called Dali, which is it's by a filmmaker named, a French filmmaker named Quentin Dupieux. People might know him from his film Rubber, which is about like a tire that comes to life and starts terrorizing a small town. So, you know, you sort of get a sense of the kind of filmmaker that he is, and then add that to him trying to make a biopic sort of about Dali's life, inspired by Dali and his surrealist style. It's a real head trip, but very clever and interesting piece of filmmaking. And we love his work as a filmmaker, and so I'd encourage people to get out and see that. In a similar vein, there's a documentary on Michel Gondry, who's the French filmmaker that made a lot of incredible music videos in the 90s and 2000s, and made films like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind that a lot of people know and love. He's known for his sort of radical inventiveness, and the sort of constructs that he does to make images come to life are incredible. So that's a great documentary that goes into his process and his artistry, and I'd recommend that to anyone who loves filmmaking. Similarly, Our Closing Night is a documentary called Scala, which is about the Scala Cinema, which is a big repertory cinema in London in the 60s and 70s. I think it ran until the early to mid-2000s and only closed relatively recently, but it played a big part in that midnight and cult cinema that we talked about, and so championed, the new works of a young John Waters and, David Lynch, Rocky Horror Picture Show, El Topo, these kind of, Eraserhead, these kind of classic cult and underground films when they were coming out in the 60s. And they would invite a lot of these filmmakers to the screenings. And then a lot of them, would have wild and crazy stories to tell about the events and the parties that happened afterwards. So anyone who loves that and wants to hear from these filmmakers tell firsthand, stories of their artistry and their experiences coming up, that's one to get to.
And that also continues that opening night conversation as well, which is so wonderful. Obviously, the two films connected brilliantly there. I'm excited for both of those. It's going to be great. But also the shorts too. Sorry, continue on. You were saying.
No, that's okay. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, John Waters is one of the main talking heads featured in Scala. So, to open with Female Trouble, which is going to be a lot of fun. I probably didn't mention, but look, we're presenting that in Smell-O-Vision, so there'll be like a scratch and sniff component to that, which just adds to the sort of outrageousness and the campness of the screening, but that's just going to be a riot. It's going to be such a good time. And then, as you said, to bookend that with another film that heavily features John talking about Pink Flamingos and his history as a young filmmaker coming up and what Midnight Movies meant to him. It's another really good curatorial link there. So yeah, lots of great Australian films, as we mentioned, lots of great retrospectives, great shorts packages. I just encourage people to check out the program in the same spirit, the festival is quite experimental, take a risk on it, check something out, and we feel pretty confident that whatever you try, you'll probably have at the very least a really interesting experience with.
Yeah, I can guarantee that's the case. Like, I'm just so excited by so much that's actually on there. Like, I could gush about the films that I've seen and the films I'm excited to see. The ones you mentioned there are particularly exciting for me. But I also want to really spotlight the shorts. I think that people, they might not know what they're going to get when they go and watch a shorts package, but usually it is one of the most exciting and best parts of a film festival, well, for me at least, because not only do you get to watch at least one great film, there's usually, as you're saying, 90 minutes of really great films that are, and I tell you what, as somebody who also watches a lot of short films, like there are a lot of great short films out there and they don't get enough respect and dedication and celebration. So that's one of the things which I've always loved about SUF and locally Revelation, where the spotlight on short films, because they don't get enough love. And so I'm thrilled that you've got that there as well.
Oh, thanks, mate. Yeah, so we've got four packages. There's a homebake one that I mentioned. We've got Stranger Than Fiction, which is short documentaries. Love Sick, which is kind of kinky, taboo, lascivious fun. If you want anything in that direction, that's for you. And then we have a WTF package, which is like a what the... quite weird and strange and mind-melting. So, as you said, the filmmakers, maybe they're young, maybe they're not that established and not household names yet, but a lot of them I can guarantee will be, because they've got a lot of chops and they know how to make a film. And, I think increasingly people are with YouTube and TikTok, and people are getting increasingly acquainted to watching short bite cinema. And I think that, you know, if anyone does enjoy that, that there is something to be said for having that as a communal experience and joining other film buffs in the flesh and watching the, you know, the best of the best up on screen. So definitely encourage people to come along and check those programs out if that is up their street.
How was it last year that you guys screened Sweet Juices? Was one of the shorts at the festival, which I think was like just one of the stickiest and most grossest shorts I've ever seen. And watching that with an audience is just like, what the hell? And that's why the WTF one is like, you always got to pay attention to those filmmakers because they are pushing things to a limit, which is just like both either really uncomfortable or disturbing or just sticky and gross. And I love that kind of stuff. So, you know, that is one I'm really looking forward to seeing because, you know, I love all that kind of goopy stuff, which is just so, messy.
There's a lot of goopiness. Yeah, there's a lot of messiness, a lot of goopiness, especially in the WTF one. But, you know, just to speak to that, you know, I think there's a freedom that comes with being a short filmmaker. You know, you don't have a massive budget that you have to justify. You don't really have to justify yourself to anyone. You know, often you've got 6 to 12 minutes to be able to, you know, do what you want and wield your creative freedom however you do. And these filmmakers do. And I think the results of that are always really, they feel liberated and they feel challenging, but not in a bad way. But yeah, just really pushing the limits, which I think is a really, it just makes all the films super interesting. So like you say, when you get one film after the next, that's just unashamedly itself and really, you know, just out there and trying, the filmmakers trying new things and films trying to be different things. I think, yeah, it ends up being a great experience on whole.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Nathan, I really appreciate being able to talk to you about the festival. I'm excited about it. It's always been, you know, for years, it's been one of the best film festivals in Australia. So, you know, thank you for what you do and for what the rest of the team does at SUFF. It's just wonderful to be able to see this kind of celebration of underground films and independent filmmakers. And I can't sing your praises high enough. Like, it's just wonderful to see people supporting filmmakers like you do. It's great. Yeah. Keep on doing it, please.
That's really kind, Andrew. Like, yeah, I appreciate that, and that's the plan. For as long as we can, it's important work, and we hope to keep on doing it. So thank you, and thanks for your support, and look forward to seeing you at the festival.
That is the Sydney Underground Film Festival director, Nathan Senn, talking about the festival, which runs from the 12th of September 2024 all the way to Sunday the 15th of September. Make sure to head over to suff.com.au to pick up tickets, and I will see you at the festival. If you're heading along, make sure to grab me and say hello, and also come along on Friday evening to Better Red Than Dead, where I launch my book, Lonely Spirits and the King. Thanks, everybody, and I'll see you on the next one.